praise is a weapon that you can use every single day in your life. Some people praise while they clean. Get them dirt mites and while using your dirt devil or what have you. But it's an awesome time to just lift your hands and worship and thank God. It doesn't matter the circumstances you're going through. Just worship. God loves it. God loves it when we worship. God loves it when his servants are glorified and magnifying his name. He loves it when we do that, when we enter in into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. He loves that. You don't have to be ashamed. If you want to run, you can jump. You can do whatever. You can lift your hands. You can close your eyes. You can do the lifting the TV type worship with the hands and stuff. You can do all of that. How many of you got your Bibles? I'm teaching on faithfulness this morning. Can you imagine that? Faithfulness. You know we serve a faithful God? He is so faithful. He said, it says he will never leave us nor forsake us. God will not quit on us. And he doesn't want us quitting on him, no matter what the circumstances are in life. And I know there's some times where things may happen in our lives where we think, man, you know, I don't know if I can go at it any longer. If there's one person in this world that you can trust, it's him. If there's one individual that you can just glorify and just be like, okay, I'm all in with this individual here. I'm all in. That's God. That's Jesus. That's who you can go into. That's who you can put your trust in. Jesus. Numbers 23 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Just looking at this scripture tells you a lot about God and about who we serve. As much people try to create their own God in their minds, and sometimes we can do that sometimes. We're thinking this is God, this is how God is. And I talked about this last week, like God will allow certain things to happen and transpire and have all these things. Wait a minute, God allows what we allow. If you allow those circumstances to happen in your life because he's given you the keys to the kingdom, he's given you authority, we all have that. Not one individual has it, or I just have the keys and you don't. No, you're a born-again believer, you have the keys to the kingdom of God. And the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you because you're the church. It's not this building. We come here to worship. So every believer, key word, believer, you have to believe. I had one individual say, you know, that faith stuff, that's not for everyone, or that prosperity stuff is not for everyone. I said, of course not. You have to believe. Well, that we're operating in those gifts, that's not for everyone. You have to believe. And in these signs will follow those who believe in my name. God is not a man, so he does not lie. We can take that to the bank. God was not created in our image. We were created in his. If God was created in our image, then he would be able to lie, change his mind, fail to act. God has never promised anything to anyone and has failed to carry it out. God doesn't change his mind like we do. Just constant. Where we go? God doesn't move the goalpost every single time. Sometimes we can do that. Well, if you do this here, okay, they do that there, and then, well, there's a little more, and then he doesn't do all that. If you seek with your whole heart, you will find him. If you spend time in his presence, if you seek to listen to his voice and you want to hear his voice inwardly, he will speak to you. And there's a difference between hearing God's voice, because spirit will speak to spirit. The enemy will plant thoughts in your mind. You can have your own thoughts in your mind. And then there's people who will say stuff to you. They hit the ear gate. But God will speak here. Even if he's speaking through someone else, if it's of the Lord, it'll hit here. That's how you know. That's how you know people can't manipulate you. That's how you know people can't lie to you or what have you. They can lie all they want, but you don't have to believe that lie because the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, don't believe that. Don't go along with that. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. God can show you things. It's a relationship. So you never have to get in a worry. You never have to get in doubt and unbelief. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have those doubts. But it does mean that you can trust him with all your heart and all your understanding. The beauty of who God is that he is not a liar. All things are held together by the power, by the word of his power. If God were to lie, everything would just cease to exist. It would just stop, just fall. Everything. It would just implode. All things are held together by his word. He created his word. I heard a minister talk about, you know, how God was created, and he was the S-O-N in the beginning when there was light, and the light was the sun, S-O-N. That's not scriptural. What God had created in the beginning, in the image, when he said, let there be light, he called that light day. He didn't call it the S-O-N. But Jesus was not created. He was already there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was never created. And God used the Word in order to create all of these things that we see in this life. The invisible created the visible. The invisible is more important than the visible that we see. So we don't fix our eyes on what we can see, because what we can see is subject to change. But we fix our eyes on the eternal things. Everything in your life that you don't like is subject to change. But you're suffering for God. There's people who've been suffering for God for 30 years. They're still suffering. And they're thinking that's the life. They're not suffering for God. They're just being a fool for the devil. God doesn't want you suffering through sickness. God doesn't want you suffering through just constantly being poor unless you yourself took a vow of poverty. He wants you well off. That's part of the inheritance. He wants you healthy. I don't understand how people can talk about that health and wealth, because it's in the Bible. And there are many scriptures that deal with that. I didn't give this to you. I'm going to just read one real quick. If I can remember my password. Many scriptures. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. This is Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7. This is the Amplified version. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moistening to your bones. New Living Translation says, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. But how can God want you to be healthy? It's in his word. Jesus says, my word, in John 6:63, says, my words are spirit and they are life. These are life-giving things that he's given us. Everything that you need in life, for your body, for your mind, and for your spirit, is in the Word. Everything. Everything you need in life is in the Word. Healing, health, all that. Wealth, faithfulness, being righteousness, God's righteousness, your salvation, all of those things are in the Word. And yet people will go down the wrong path and be like, yeah, I don't believe that. But can you pray for me? Because I need health in my body. Well, what do you think those people are going to pray? The word. We don't just do this and then try to hit something. You get into the word, you find the scriptures and what it says, and you pray that word over your life. You speak it over your life. You speak it over other people's lives. If you're in a prayer circle, when you're praying, what do you need prayer for? If you're asking people, what do you need prayer? If you don't have any scripture and you don't know any scripture off the top of your head, don't be ashamed about it. Just go to the word. Lord, your word says this right here. Wait a minute, there's another one here. Your word says this right here. Take your time. Why? Because you are taking your time to aim and direct where you needed to go. It works. You can't try that faith stuff. You live it out. That's just something you do. I've tried faith. How are you born again? If you tried it and it didn't work, it works. It'll work in your life every single day. Without faith is what? Impossible to please God. Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. God magnify his word above his name. That's to show you how important it is. His word is magnified. His word is exalted above his name, which is above all names. So shouldn't we exalt his name, his word in our lives? No, I'm going to just read. Social media says this. All these UFOs and these pastors are having this meeting and stuff. Shouldn't you exalt his word above his own name? Are you worried about UFOs? Are you worried about aliens? They're going to come and deceive the people, the church. Are you worried about it? God is so faithful that he values his word even above his own name. If that doesn't tell you that this is where we should do, this is what we should do, then clearly we're not seeing the picture. You place God's word above media, above people, above what society may say. His word is truth. His word is spirit and it gives life. God is so faithful to that. He's so faithful to watch over his word to perform it in your life. The things that he said, the things that the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not all scripture is what God said. You get that? God didn't say everything in the Bible, but he's given them inspiration to write it down and what was said. Go off of what he said. What he's spoken to you, he's going to see it through. What he said to you in that secret place, when you were, whether you were just walking, whether you were praying, whether you were just in the shower, whether you were going to bed or what have you, whatever it is, whatever you were praying, what he has spoken to you, he is going to see it through. And there's not a person on the face of this planet that can ever stop what God wants to do in your life. There is not no man that can ever shut a door that God has opened in your life. And sometimes we get intimidated. I don't like it when people try to come against me because I know what's going to happen to them. I actually feel sorry for them. Seriously. I'm not trying to be prideful. I know my God. I know what he's spoken over my life. I know what he's spoken to me. I know what he said to me. I know the things that he has shown me. And then here they come. I said, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Well, that could be pride, Pastor Tim. It's not pride when you have confidence in God. My responsibility is to keep myself in love. The one command that sums up the entire law, love your neighbor as your. Why do you think I preach on that all the time? He's faithful. What he has spoken to you, what he has told you, He's going to watch it. He's going to see it through. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare back down. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to see it through. God's going to see it through. I'm not God. God is going to see it through. You know, he's promised you healing. You've already been healed. 2,000 years ago, you've already been healed. There's no sickness in your body that needs to be there. If we open up the door to that, here's the thing. We can close it. See, that's the beauty of it. Oh, you don't have to get all messed up with it. You don't have to get all confused with it. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to beat yourself up. If you open up the door, you can close the door through repentance. And you don't have to give it an entryway in your life again. And you can receive what Jesus has done for you over 2,000 years ago on that cross. Every stripe that he had bore on his back when he was whipped with the cat of nine tails, it's a done deal. By his stripes, you were healed, past tense. You are already healed, not trying to get healed. I know God is going to do it. I know he can do it. It's not faith. That's hope. I know God has done it. I know Jesus has already borne it. I know Jesus has already healed me. I know Jesus has already prospered me. I know Jesus has already saved me. I just have to flow in that. I have to believe. I have to confess with my mouth and believe in mine. Come on. It doesn't change just because the times have changed. His word is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's never going to change. We should be walking in more victory than what we are. But we allow social media to tell us. Podcasters tell us something different based upon their story. I don't go off of anyone's story unless it lines up with the word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the word, I'm good. Let me just delete you, block you, because I don't want that on my page. Why? Because that's nonsense. Trying to get you, that's what people think is faith is not really faith. I want to be pleasing to him. I want to be pleasing to God. That's why I say I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do whatever it is I want. But what I want to do is follow the will of my Father. That's what I want to do. And anybody try to deter me from doing that, God bless you. You're going to have a tough time. Because I choose to walk with him. And there are people who will distract you and lead you down the wrong path. God is not a man that he should what? He will never lie to you. Ever. People will, but God won't. Forgive him. Love him. Tell him you're crazy. Oh, bless your little heart. But that's not God. They're not the voice of God for you. God is. The Holy Spirit is. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. He's your comforter. He will tell you. And you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just like you do with your spouse. You can have a relationship with him. You know, God wants to get involved in every area of your life. Even down to the clothes you wear. I once heard of that at a conference years ago. Once heard a minister saying, it wasn't a conference. It was about maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that. I heard a minister talk about, he asked the Holy Spirit what to wear every day. You know, he relies on the Holy Spirit to tell him what to wear. And that's the relationship that he had with him. And then I heard another minister several weeks later say, well, that's kind of common sense. You don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you what to wear. I mean, that's just, well, needless to say, that minister had fallen. But see, a righteous man gets back up. That's the difference. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but get back up again. A wicked man will fall and just stay there. Think about that. God wants, he wants you to, so if he's where, if he puts me in red and red, don't complain, Kristen. (laughs) even down to my own clothes, even down to the food you eat, even down to how you style your hair. Ask the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's a relationship. How do you run your business? Ask the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He'll guide you to. No, God doesn't want me to prosper. Okay, you keep believing that. You keep believing that with your business. And then you're going to be going to everybody else. I don't understand why I'm not prospering. Hello? Wake up. Everything you do, he wants to get involved, and he'll tell you the deals to get into and the deals to avoid. Why? Because he protects you. He loves you. Second Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. It says, this is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also will live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. God has not stopped being faithful just because we are unfaithful. We may be unfaithful at times, try not to be, but if we are, that doesn't change who God is. God does not change for anyone. He does not alter his word for no one. You are special, you are a child of God, but he will not change up his word for you. He loves you, but he won't change it up. Again, everything was self-destruct. You will have to endure hardship in this life to make sure your faith in God is actually genuine. We're all, anybody in here, show of hands, living on this earth, never had a problem in their life. I know Mrs. Brown is pretty holy. She's never had a flat tire in her life. That's remarkable. That's awesome. And still going. That means you got a good man. He checks it. That's a good husband. My wife is all on flats. No, just kidding. I'm not prophesying that. God will not change. He will not alter. If you are able to endure, then you will be able to reign with him, and his kingdom will never end. This life compared to eternity is nothing, but it matters what Jesus has done for you and how you choose to receive him as your Lord and Savior. That determines how you will spend eternity. So if you are willing to suffer because of your faith in Jesus, you will reign with him. This is what the scripture says. If you endure hardship, you will reign with Jesus. And let me help you out. Those hardships are really nothing. They're really nothing. It's really nothing. Compared to eternity, it's just a vapor. It's nothing. Paul called everything that he went through a light affliction. And he went through some stuff. Being shipwrecked and everything. I mean, just getting me on a boat, that would be an affliction for me. I'm not getting on a boat for nobody. I once saw an elderly couple. I don't know if it's true or not. But I thought that was a pretty good idea, that they spent their retirement basically on cruises. They just booked cruises back to back to back so they didn't have to live in a rest home. I was like, shoot, you got dancing and entertainment and all this. You got the medical staff on there and you're going to all these countries rather than sitting in a place looking at a wall. I was like, okay, that sounds pretty good, but you ain't going to get me on there. Kristen be on there. I won't be on there. I'm good. See you later. But it says you will endure hardships, but they're just light afflictions. Nothing to get upset about. God is a rewarder, and the rewards that he gives to his children are far greater than we can ever imagine. We never have to ask for it, but he gives it to us anyway because that's the kind of God he is. He's a giver. God, I didn't ask for all this. I know. Solomon didn't ask for all the riches. He just asked for wisdom to be able to govern his people. God said, well, that's a good one. But I'm going to give you some more riches too. I'm going to give you riches. He made him the most wealthiest man ever. Why? God did that. He's the one that prospered them. He was the one that prospered David. He was the one that prospered Job. He's the one that prospers you. So to kind of keep us in check, this is one of the reasons why we give. It's to humble ourselves. It's humility when we give. Lord, thank you. You're our source, not our job, not our pension, not this. You are. You are our source. Because you've given me the ability to get wealth, I'm honoring it with you. This is yours. You have to understand that even when you fail God, God will never fail you. Since God will never fail you or leave you, you need to make sure you don't leave him or deny him. Because if he says if you deny him, he will deny you. Doesn't matter what kind of pressure the world puts on you and how things may turn. If someone's trying to put pressure on you to get you to deny Jesus, you don't deny him. If they try to take your life and threaten your life with it, you don't deny him. You stand firm. You stand firm. We're not living in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. That was worse. And those four Hebrew boys did not bow, did not deny God. They became more fervent in their faith and their trust in God because of their covenant that they had with them. And we have a much better covenant. That covenant was an administration of death. This is a new covenant that is under grace and mercy, and his mercies and lamentations is new every single day. You get people that will deny Jesus. That will, I don't know. Wait a minute. I'm seeing this young generation, man. We got the Roman lions. They're pretty bold with their faith. They don't have a problem calling things out. They are bold. Question is, are you going to run with the lions? You got to be able to run with the lions. You're still a lion. I said, well, the old lions go out and die. No. You can run with them. I can run with them. Sometimes my back may be out of place. Thank God for my daughter being here. Free chiropractic help. Man, my goodness. That's awesome. But you have to run with those lions. You got to be bold in your faith. Don't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. When was the last time you ever sat down with a stranger and just had a conversation with Jesus? Not your friends, a stranger. And you had a great, deep conversation and you shared your faith with Jesus and you asked them questions. When was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Sometimes our focus can be inward all the time. It's about what we can get rather than what we can give. You have the gospel at the tip of your tongue, in your heart, that you can share with other people. One of the best conversations I've ever had was with an elderly man with his son. And I led him to the Lord. Went there on Halloween. And led him to the Lord. We talked about faith. We talked about family. We talked about hoops. And I was able to lead him to the Lord in front of his son. Who was an elderly man. He was in his 50s too. Very knowledgeable. But he doesn't know Jesus. So I'm still praying for him. But as I led him to the Lord, I said, you sense that burning on the inside of you, that warmth? He goes, yes, that's Jesus. And just shortly after, a few weeks, he went home to be with the Lord. And they called me up to do the funeral. But it was times going in there, because he used to work for Clean Right, used to be the owner of it. I would go in there and sow some seed. We talk hoops. He'd talk about his son. I'll sow some seed and sow some more seed and sow some more seed to the point to where his son, when he came on our staff, he asked for me to keep his dad in prayers. I was like, all right, I'll do that. there's a way in. One man waters, another one man sows, another man waters, but God is the one who gives the increase. So even if you don't have that time to water seed, but you do have time to sow it, somebody else will come and water it. Don't worry about giving the increase. God, that's God's job. Your responsibility is to sow it and water it. Stay after it. Don't back off. Sow it and water it. If there's things that you have to counter all the time, counter it. Sometimes you're going to have to counter a lot of people's unbelief. They'll talk you in circles. Counter the unbelief with the word. But I believe God put this on me. So what do you want me to do? You want to be healed or not? I said, all right, this is what his word says. And you're just going to have to walk them through it. You're going to have to counter that. Because they could be caught up on religion. They could be caught up on their own ways. There was a time in my life where I thought I was, in order for me to check out, I have to die of cancer. That was stupid. Till I read the word. Doesn't say that in there. It's crazy what we would say over ourselves, what we will speak over ourselves, what we will allow to come into our lives, and it isn't anything that lines up with the word of God. But I know, but this is, they say this, they say that. It doesn't line up with what God's word says. Well, marriages end in divorce. It doesn't have to. 50%. Well, you could be the one. You could be the other 50. Doesn't have to be you. Fight. Echo in here. Faithfulness. God's faithfulness is true. Psalms 108, 1 through 4 says, my heart is confident in you. Oh God, no wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. Wake up, lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations, for your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. You being confident in who God is and in your relationship may look like pride to those who are in competition with you. There are people who will be secretly in competition with you. It will always look like pride. It's not pride. It's just confidence in God. My God's big. My God never fails. My God never lies. My God is true. He's trustworthy. He is awesome. He is mighty. He fights my battles. There's nothing wrong with being confident in that. He's a deliverer. He's a restorer. He's a forgiver. He's a protector. He's a provider. I'm boasting in him. You're boasting in him. You're confident. You are confident in him. David was confident in God. He wasn't confident in himself. It was in God. Nothing that we do is of value comes directly from us. It's been given to us by a loving Father, which is why we give glory and honor where it is due. God gets the glory. He gets the honor. Not man pretending to be God. God is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah. As one person said, God is not El Cheapo. Right? If you are a faithful person, if you are not a faithful person, you can start today by repentance. Luke 16 says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. God wants you to have those greater responsibilities because he's entrusted this to the church. So that means, yeah, is that you? Listen, we have the titles. We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, or what have you. I said, but here's the thing. You have laymen. You have the congregation. You're the church. You're the body. member of a congregation is written out in the book of Acts. I believe it's chapter 9 or 10. But Ananias was the one who led Paul, laid hands on him so that he would receive his sight and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Someone like you who didn't have a title. Don't think that God can't use you, because he can. You have to let him. He's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to force you to. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't force himself on you. He's not, you got to do this. He doesn't pressure you into doing things. People will. And the reason why people will pressure you is to do what they want you to do, not what God wants you to do. Come on. Be led. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by what he's telling you. Be led by where he's leading you. Be led by how he's trying to deliver you out of things. Be led by that. Because you don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to be in the same place. Be led. He has an answer for you. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation for any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by man whereby we must be saved or delivered or set free or forgiven and protected. Salvation doesn't come through any other name but Jesus. There is no other religion that can claim that. We have that right to use that name. That's why you don't pray at the end in your son's name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Come on, why? We have a relationship. We don't pray in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. You're able to use that. And anything that you ask in his name, the Father will do. You use the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. I got about 10 more pages. I'll be done soon. Mary was faithful. Y'all know Mary? Y'all remember Mary? The young girl Mary, who was told by an angel that she would carry the Messiah. How awesome is that? You were visited by an angel. Some of y'all may have been visited by an angel. You didn't even know it. But she was visited by an angel, and there was a promise to her. Mary, Jesus' mother, was faithful. She was the one who prompted Jesus to do his first miracle. What was that? Y'all remember? Turn water into wine. Well, I don't believe it was real wine. It was. It wasn't diluted. Don't get upset over that. Some people, oh, I just can't believe. Stop it. Those are your convictions, not God's. Those are yours. Jesus, they don't have any more wine. And he's like, why are you troubling me? Do whatever he tells you. See, all those stories that she kept from the childhood, she knew he was the Messiah. She knew it was time. I said, and she prompted that. Sometimes mothers will do that. Kind of gets on my nerves. But they will prompt you to move into a direction. It's like, okay, you need to step into this. You need to do this. But that's just how God created women to be. Man is just like, kind of, yeah, I'm good. Sometimes. When it comes to sports, we're all out. But everything else, the woman, the mother, gets after it. No, ain't no shyness over here. They'll prompt you to do things. The right way. Mary was faithful. She stayed faithful. And the thing about it is, it's like when even at the cross, I don't even understand how that could be, but to see your son get arrested, get lied on, spat on, slapped, beat down, a crown of thorns put on his head, him stripped, in front of everybody, that cat of nine tails, beating him to a bloody pulp to see that. That would be hard. Just reading it in the Bible, I'm like, she was there. That's my baby. That's my son. They're doing this too. And she's there at the cross. There were people who left Jesus. There was just a handful of people that was there. Shows you who your true friends are. There's a lot of people who say, I follow Jesus, but not many follow Jesus. They honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from them. She was there in John 19. It says this, standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. A lot of Marys in there. Beloved. She was there. Mary stayed faithful. She stayed faithful to the call. She stayed faithful to being able to carry Jesus out full term. She stayed faithful to all of that, which allows us to be faithful. Not because of Mary, but because of what Jesus did. We have those examples through what Jesus had done for us. Mothers, I'm just letting you know, I said, I wouldn't say you run the household. You may run your household, but here's the thing. Thank you for the efforts that you put forth, getting the kids ready, getting their assignments out or what have you, and helping them, staying on task with the husband. There are things that you do that you don't ever get credit for. The time that you spend in prayer, people don't see that. The time that you spend talking to others and what have you in order to help your child to get through the things that they do. People don't see that. Your faithfulness to stay in it when things look bad. You can't be repaid. Because you probably are a multimillionaire right now. If we were to pay you exactly what you're worth, you'd be multimillionaires, all of you. But I just want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. Because number one, God sees it. And then if your husband don't see it, he'll knock him upside the head and say, look, but thank you for what you do, even if no one ever told you. Thank you. You are beloved. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to Jesus. Stay faithful to your husband. Stay faithful for your family. And don't give the enemy a foothold into your life. You are that helper. You help your husband to lead that family the way he's supposed to lead. But you stay faithful to Jesus. Be that Proverbs 31 woman. Amen. Is Mariah here? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for these mothers here, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. You've always been faithful, Jesus. You've always been faithful. And you call us to be faithful. You call us to be set apart. You call us to be holy in everything we do, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to live that out in our everyday lives. We just pray for the families here. We pray for supernatural protection over them, Lord. For the things to come, we thank you for protecting them. from all hurt, harm, and danger in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I believe there's Trina has some gifts for mothers in the back. So on your way out, mothers, go ahead and get those. Those are from Trina. Kristen helped with those. So you can thank them when you leave. Let's stand. We have a couple more weeks, and then we'll be heading into our summer stuff. I'll have the summer things out. I'll get them to Vicky and stuff like that. But if you are wanting to do a group or of any kind, it don't matter if you wanted to start a cornhole league. If you wanted to do that and get men together and women together, or couples or what have you, and you wanted to do that, that's fine. But we can do something every single week, every night. We can have different groups going on. And that's kind of my goal, and what I want to do is just have groups going on, different types of groups for everyone. So you don't have to participate in everyone. I will not be. If you like making quilts, you can do something like that, and that could be a ministry. That's whatever the Lord, whatever your gifting is in and whatever the Lord has for you, you want to do it. Mariah, come on up here. She's our lone graduate, but that's okay. She commands all the attention right now. Let me see that back, Chris. You can stay right there. You can turn this way. Turn to me.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.